Throughout your classes this weekend, as we've mentioned several times, the desire is for you to look at Jesus in all of his majesty, in all of his glory, in all of his beauty. To realize and to recognize that at the center of Christianity is a person that when you decide to receive Christ and to follow him and to give your life to him and to become a disciple, you have made the decision to do just that, to follow Jesus Christ. But it's not simply a matter of following, but knowing, coming to know who he is, coming to know him fully. And the message of Scripture, of course, is that Jesus Christ is the greatest personality that has ever existed and that will ever exist. And hopefully you'll see that throughout your classes. Jesus is kind of like that precious jewel or that diamond that has many facets, and you have to hold it up in different lights, and every angle shows a different dimension to who he is. And that's why, for example, we have the track talking about the portraits of Jesus, and we have our speakers talking about the different facets that the gospel show. Each gospel, although most of the material is the same, except for John, of course, is quite a bit different in its material. But each gospel account shows a different side of Jesus. They deal with a lot of the same material, but some of it's slightly different, and some of it is not the same, and the way they talk about him is different, and the people that he encounters, and those encounters are different. Well, why is it that they showed all of these different depictions of Jesus? It's because the beauty of Christ, I believe, could not be simply told in one particular story, in one particular account. It could not contain the greatness of Christ. And so they need you to see Jesus in all of his beauty. And really, John gets to the end of his gospel account. And even at the end, he has written his gospel account most likely much later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And even after that, knowing that these gospels are out there, knowing what he has just written, and he says, listen, if we tried to write everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus was, the world couldn't contain it, right? There wouldn't be enough ink for us to talk about how awesome Jesus is. And so we've only got 2.5 days to talk about how great Jesus is, but hopefully you can see that. But I will say this, in all of the great depictions of Christ and all of the great pictures that Scripture paints about Jesus in the gospel accounts and other places, I think that the highest, the loftiest Christology, the loftiest view of Jesus is found in Colossians chapter 1. If you want to turn over there real quickly, and we'll read through that together. Colossians chapter 1. Now, if you know anything about the book of Colossians, Paul is writing to the brethren in Colossae, and he is addressing a false doctrine which seems to be questioning the sufficiency of Jesus. Now, really at the heart of all false doctrine, at the heart of all false teaching, is a teaching that questions the sufficiency of Christ. And so in order to address this doctrine, he exalts Jesus Christ. He makes him so lofty, so high, so awesome, that the Colossian brethren have to stand back and say, what were we thinking trying to improve upon this, trying to mess with this and who he is? And we see him beginning to talk about this in verse 13 in Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on the cross or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Now, I want you to see in this short section of Scripture the various facets that Paul tries to show about Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Well, first off, he's a king. Notice that he says in verse 13 that we have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus is your friend. Yes. Jesus is your Savior. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yes. But above that, he is your king. Okay. He is your sovereign Lord. He is your master. He is your ruling sovereign. And so he says he has placed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Notice, secondly, he's not only the king, and many of you know this, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Thirdly, He's the Redeemer in whom we have redemption. He's the Savior for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the Almighty God. We see in verse 15, He's the image of the invisible God. We see that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. He is the exact image. If you've ever asked yourself, and if humanity's asked themselves, what would God be like if He was one of us? Jesus answers that question. He came, and as Wayne talked about yesterday, He dwelt among us. He was Emmanuel, God with us. So He's the image of the Almighty God. Next, He says in verse 16, He is the means of creation, right? All things were created by Him, whether invisible or visible. Everything was created through Him. John talks about this at the beginning of John chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, how all things were created through Jesus. Jesus is the agent of creation. And of course, within Christianity, He's the agent of new creation within Himself. But He is by which everything was created. Everything that you see, that's who Jesus is. He wasn't simply a man. He wasn't simply a good teacher. Paul sees Him in this lofty picture as the one through by whom everything came. Verse 17, I like what he says here. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the binding force of reality. He is the reason you are breathing right now. He holds all matter, all things together. Some versions say, in Him all things consist. That is, if Jesus desired it to be so, He could speak and the very fabric of reality would be torn apart. Okay? That's not just a good man. That's not just a teacher. That is the only God who holds everything that you are together. You take a breath, and the reason you're breathing is because God holds things together within Himself. And the Hebrews writer speaks of that as well. Verse 18, He's the head of the church. He's the preeminent personality that He might have dominion and preeminence. And then He says in verse 19, I love this, in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is the vessel of the Godhead's totality. All the love that God has, all the mercy, all the grace, all the righteousness, all the truth, all the holiness is embodied within Jesus Christ. So that if you look at Jesus Christ, as He says to Philip, have I not been with you and you don't know the Father? If you see Me, you see the Father. If you know Jesus Christ, you know the most powerful, most loving, most wise, transcendent God of the universe. And friends, in comparison to that, what could be better? What could be better than that? If you have Christ, you have everything. You have Him fully and completely. Now, one more thought and then we'll close out. After showing this lofty picture of who Jesus is, this cosmic king, this binder of reality, the totality of the Trinity and the Godhead, after showing this lofty picture of who God is, how awesome, and just as you are looking and you're falling to your knees in adoration and worship and you're kind of gasping at His awesomeness and who He is, jump down to verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great things among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Just when you are astounded by the grandeur of Christ, Paul comes and he says, that personality is in you, Christian. He's not simply beside you or near you. Paul said, He is in you. And that, Him being in you, he says, brings the hope of glory. Christ hopes and desires to be in you. Christ is not simply satisfied with being a part of your life. He is wanting all of your life. Jesus either takes all of you or He takes none of you. Notice verse verse 16. The end of verse 16 said, all things were created through him and for him. Christian, you know, young people, do you know why you were created? You know why you're here? You were made for Jesus. All things, are you a part of all things? All things were created through him and for him. You were created for him. So let that be a thought as we go throughout this day, and hopefully it will help kick off our ideas and what we're going to learn today, and let us view this lofty view of who Christ is.